Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek, what's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com, and YouTube. As you can see, if you're watching us on video, if you're listening, welcome and hope the audio is working out on your end. We are working on it on our end to make it as crisp and clean as possible for your listening pleasure. If you're looking at us, though, you can see here in Studio 66, I am not alone. First of all, way over there to the left, it's our main man. You read his fine work, his power rankings, and so on and so forth at NFL.com. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
Well, I mean, I was enjoying talking about Super Bowl 14 with you in The Sopranos, and I kind of wanted to continue that a little bit. I was saying, dude, there was no buzz about that show when it started.
I disagree with that. It was highly regarded, at least among critics.
The first year? I thought the Larry Sanders Show. Wasn't that like the big HBO show at the time? You didn't like that one, did you?
Didn't love the Larry Sanders Show. Please, listen, we have something very important to talk about, and that's Tom Brady. But even bigger news, and I hope you'll agree, something very big to the pro football world that we're about to mention here, but we'll dig into it. But first of all, let's say hello to our main man, our resident Miami Dolphins fan, all the way from London, England. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome,
look out.
That's double.
That's why you have to, even if you're an audio, if your preference is for audio, you should watch on YouTube just to see Handsome pay off his theme music. Like I say, it is on YouTube, and to prove it, we're getting comments from the YouTube viewers, and let's take a look at what do we have there, Black Tie behind the glass. Let's take a look at what people are buzzing about with DDFP. A lot of feedback, by the way, on our podcast from earlier this week. People loved the Andrew Luck interview we did. Go back and check that one out again on YouTube or iTunes.
I like this one.
Dominic Schaefer, poor Handsome Hank. It makes me sad when Dave pretends that Henry's English is weird. British English is original.
And the best sound, you chose not to read the actual money bit here, and best sounding English by far.
I don't know that I trust this guy named Dominic, who doesn't spell Dominic with a C.
Well, I would imagine he's American, which actually even more proves the point that Dominic with a K is making.
Don't misinterpret my feelings about Handsome's, his pronunciations of things. They delight me like nothing else. So I certainly don't make fun of you for that. I celebrate that.
What was the saying that was the hit of 2014? Deceiving to chance. What, do you remember that saying he had?
Handsome brought up.
Flattering to deceive.
Hey,
flattering
fellas, deceive. Programming note. 1 week from today, we will gather in this same spot, and we will do the season premiere of the Red Challenge Flag Pick segment. This is when Elliot Harrison and Handsome Hank go head-to-head, picking all the big games. I'm just here to play judge. And speaking of the games, we are now past a winter and spring and summer of discontent for the people of New England. Acrimony between the New England Patriots and the commissioner's office in New York City finally resolved. And this isn't me shilling or anything else. I just don't want to talk about it. Not because I'm afraid. And by the way, shout out to Bert Breer, Mike Silver, who all was buzzing about it on Thursday morning on NFL Network.
Lindsey Rhodes.
Keith Evans. But everybody really, you know, fearlessly. I mean, some portion of the public thinks like that they're not allowed to say bad
anything,
stuff.
Right.
In fact, they have shared their opinions unvarnished. And kudos to them for their coverage of all this. But it's done, and I want to put it in the rearview mirror, but real quick, because I suppose we're a football show, and so we should talk about that quickly. How do we feel, Elliot Harrison? Deflategate now resolved. Brady under center. Boy, I feel bad forever us to play him next Thursday.
I don't. I mean, this is year 16 for Tom Brady. I don't feel like it's really been addressed that maybe this isn't going to be a very good season for him. I mean, somewhere around year 16, year 17 is when the nosedive generally happens. Marino's bad year, I believe, was year 17.
That's right.
John Elway did 16 years, and then he retired. We talked about this a couple podcasts ago, and he said, I just can't do it anymore. Are we certain that Tom Brady is still the Tom Brady we think he is?
And I mean, not that we should judge anything off preseason, but what he's done so far in preseason with an offensive line that has a couple rookies on it, mm-hmm. with Brandon LaFell, who, you know, not a big name receiver, but is apparently, you know, their number one, number two receiver in New England. Edelman's been injured. Danny Amendola is the best weapon outside of obviously Gronk that he has to work with on that offense. So I don't think, I mean,
ironic that Amendola is the healthiest option.
Right, yes. Exactly. We've never been said before. I think Matt Slater is probably their number three receiver right now, which is not a good position to be in.
Well, the cynic would say, or the Patriots fan would point out, that Tom Brady, the last time we saw him, was busy in the fourth quarter defeating the generation's greatest defense, rallying them from 10 down to win that game. But I'm with you, EH. It's hard to do the math that, well, what do you mean he could be done here? How could that be? It just, as we've talked about with many, many, many football players over the years, when it goes, it goes. It doesn't, it's not as though, he's not as good over the last 3 years. No, you're good one day, and then you're a zero the next. And, you know, as I've pointed out, I know Broncos fans don't like when I point it out, I happen to think that that's what's going on with 18 as well. And I think it's Brady this year? No, I don't. I think he's going to have one more good year, but I could be wrong about that. And Handsome, to your point, the lousy offensive line, the thing that Peyton and Brady, the two things that they've always had going in their favor throughout the bulk of their respective careers. One, they haven't been in great divisions. Two, they've always had good offensive lines, or almost always. Mm-hmm. You know, if and that's going to be a problem probably in Denver and probably New England this year. Let's see how now older versions of these all-time greats are going to perform here.
And we saw it last year with Peyton when, you know, he got chased around and then got hit a couple times. You know, that towards the end of the season really, you know, made him not as good as we expected him to be.
And I don't think it's a surprise when that goes down in December. I mean, look where Brady plays. He plays Foxborough. Well, it gets cold.
Right.
Well, in cold weather, you need a stronger arm. It's that simple. I will say this, though. I think Brady's in better overall physical shape than Peyton Manning is to continue forward. I know he's been taking care of his body in that manner. Tom Brady's not a weightlifter. That's not how he gets himself prepared. So he's been doing a lot of different things he wants to play until he's like 45 years old.
Real quick, let's get the ball rolling a little bit early here. Let's get a red challenge flag here. We're not going to – listen, there's nothing between us now and football. You know, preseason's over with. It's now time to make our picks here. No Lev Bell, no Marquise Pouncey, no Martavis Bryant for Pittsburgh. Any chance that they can survive this one? You know what? You wanted to say something before we get into
it? Well, I just want one question. When we start doing this for real next Thursday, and I'm thrilled we're going to get a little preview of this now, but can we get Black Tide to produce us some actual red flags?
Now that there's a video portion of this,
I'd like to be able to actually toss some red flags around.
That's a fun idea.
Can you do that for us, Black Tide?
Yeah, some red flags.
We'll work on it. We'll get
that
there,
means
guys.
No.
I know.
We'll get there.
Week 7.
You have the better part of a week to do it. But all right, we'll see. By the way, be on the lookout. We are creating a pick'em pool and a survivor pool for the DDFP audience. We hope you'll join us. We'll all play.
You need to take a new headshot for that. You still have that one where your hair is all puffy on the side like the guy from Battlestar Galactica and you're all clean shaven.
Also,
it's time for a new
ending.
Yeah,
you look very different now.
Yes.
By the way, just to resolve this thing, it's all said and done. Like I said, I know Patriots fans, this isn't my opinion. This is a fact. Whatever you think, you know, oh, the Patriots were wronged in this case, Tom Brady was wrong, it doesn't change the fact that just like Barry Bonds 100 years from now has an asterisk now, whether it's fair or otherwise, people will always associate this, and that's, I suppose, why so many people are up in arms about it. But again, there is the recidivist aspect of it. There was the video thing and all this. This is a part of the Patriots, the Belichick Brady dynasty, whether you like it or not, even if it's completely unfair. That is something that is going to exist well beyond Tom Brady's career. Hey, like I say, so that's big news. Brady under center for the season premiere. I guess that's kind of good for pro football fans that maybe the biggest star is going to be the leading man out there, or perhaps he'll be trumped by Ben Roethlisberger. But we didn't do it. Make your pick.
Steelers.
You think the Steelers are going to win that game?
Oh, Dave, I'm going to have to throw out my fake red challenge flag.
All right. I love it. Right out of the gate.
This might be the last time we disagree all season. I'm going to have to take New England on this one, man. I'm sorry. The Steelers just missing too many parts. By the way, are the Steelers fans, are they going to come out with like a 20,000-page manifesto on why Lev Bell shouldn't miss week one?
I've already floated that suggestion. Yes. And who I really feel bad for, Jimmy Garoppolo. Poor dear. Mm-hmm. Poor guy. Hey, so anyway, here's the big news. Tom Brady is big news. Bigger news? You've been asking me on Twitter and elsewhere all offseason. Yes, everybody. He's back.
You've heard the rumors. A hero has risen. He's bigger. He's badder. And he's back. But he ain't a baby anymore. He's a toddler. He's football, baby. And he's making picks.
Coming to football, baby, in 5, 4, 3.
Football, baby, 2. Now with hair. Nap time's over.
I couldn't be more excited about
it. I'm thrilled he's back.
Yes. Now, we've had to try and figure out, and I'll, you know, no jive. You know that's the sign over the door, the cardinal rule. What is Football Baby's method this year? I'm not exactly sure. We may have to do some trial and error. One way or the other, though, I feel he's imbued with the magic, so it's just a matter of finding the device that allows right. him to, you know, go and get physic. Is it him walking across the room to grab it? I think that's the way we're going to have to try it out. But I'm open to suggestions. So we'll try a number of methods to see if we can arrive mm-hmm. at this. And if you aren't familiar, Football Baby last year, in his infancy, was a revelation. Positively. What's that?
Literally in his infancy.
Yes, literally. And he literally in his infancy, he went 8-0. To start his career, finished 30-13, glistening, you know, record by any measure. Right. You know, beat all the experts of 2014. Can he do it again? The sequel, 2015, is here. Let's dig into the 2015 NFL season now and begin, or really, I suppose, continue previewing it. But let's put our feet to the fire, if you will, here and get into it here. And we'll start out with, I guess, the end of the story is, who is the most likely to win the Lombardi Trophy? I don't mean just one team, but let's talk about the teams. Not that might make the playoffs, not that might show improvement, but do what the whole point of pro football is and hoist the Lombardi when it's all said and done. Handsome Hank, I start with you. Let's go around and see if we can assess which teams are really in the running to win it all in Santa Clara.
Well, thank you for coming to me first, Dave, because I know for a fact who will be lifting the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
You're going
to
just jump right to it
exactly
and tell us
who it's going to be. The man holding the Vince Lombardi Trophy immediately after the game is over will be Jim Nantz.
Oh, don't be a stinker. He did it. See? He sucked me in and then he got me. He gave me a zinger there.
Yeah, sorry about that. All right, okay.
Wait. Hold on a second. That was very funny. That was very well played.
Thank you
very,
very much.
Well done, sir. Did. Be careful, Elliot. Be careful with this one.
I thought you were going to go,
okay, Pookie.
All right, if you finish,
I just want to make sure. Okay, yes, okay, now you good. Can proceed.
All right, I'm going to say that the Seahawks will win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I think. Boo. Come on.
What do you mean? Boo. Oh, boo.
Jimmy Graham.
I'm not like Hawks go. But
run, Jimmy Graham.
Look at it. You look at the NFC. I think they've got an open shot, an open lane to the mm-hmm. Super Bowl. And it's partly because I think that the Packers, without Jordy Nelson, aren't going to be the challenge that they were even last season.
I love that we show Luke Wilson, because all anyone talks about is Jimmy Graham. Awesome. Right. That the very first piece of B-roll, Luke Wilson touched.
Well, you know, Handsome, I do think, as opposed to where we were a month ago, that I still think the NFC has more high-end teams that actually mm-hmm. can win the Super Bowl, not be just competitive but go all the way. But, yeah, the Packers were probably the number one team in that regard. And I
think the Jordy Nelson injury really, really hurts them. I don't think that they can be the same team they were last year. I think the Eagles are probably one of those higher-end teams that you're talking about. I think they probably win the NFC East. But when it comes to it, that great defense will, to me, push through to the Super Bowl. And then I'm just taking the risk that, okay, if I think they'll make the Super Bowl and I have no idea who will do from the AFC, quite honestly, the Seahawks, that's how I made my choice.
All right, so we have floated now, because I still think you have Aaron Rodgers, you can win the Super Bowl. Obviously, mm-hmm. we've seen them do it before. And remember, when they did it, in Super Bowl 45, was that against Pittsburgh? They had a ton of guys on the IR that year, so maybe that's a good piece of optimism for all you people in Green Bay. We've also talked about the Seahawks. EH, who else?
Well, I like the Packers over the Colts in Super Bowl 50, so obviously that would make the Colts a legitimate contender. They're playing the AFC South, obviously. They play them every year, but they're playing the NFC South this year as well. They'll probably go 7-1 through those eight games right there. The Colts could finish 13-3, and then they have home field advantage. I like them against Green Bay, but I think there are some other teams that we should throw in there. I mean, obviously with the Tom Brady news, you just mentioned that the Packers have Aaron Rodgers. They're always contending. I think you need to say that about the Patriots. If they have
Patriots are obviously a choice as long as Brady is healthy until he completely falls apart. So we say them. I'm trying to work off the top of my head. This isn't teams that might be playing in a title game. I'm talking to get to the Super Bowl and actually win it. And so we can't miss a team because then it's egg on our collective face if we don't mention the team that wins Super Bowl 50 here. So let's make sure we're thorough. Pittsburgh, a lot of people are picking. I have my doubts there. Tell you else, Baltimore is always in the running, whether you like that or not. That is a reality. I'm saying it here and now, the Broncos cannot win the Super Bowl. In fact, I said that 3 years ago that they would never win a Super Bowl with 18 under center, and I've been proven right there. You know who I'm going to say? The Chiefs. I think the Chiefs can win the Super Bowl. I believe in the Chiefs. I really like the Chiefs. We'll talk about the Lions in a minute here. I don't know if they can win the Super Bowl,
They can be a good team.
I think they could go to the Super Bowl. I think they can win that division based on what you're talking about as well.
But that's not win the Super Bowl.
Correct. Yeah.
So to me, the second tier NFC teams would be Dallas and Arizona. So
Dallas
or Arizona could win it.
Carson Palmer is not going to win the Super Bowl. I do think the Cowboys could. I think the key there, Randy Gregory and or Greg Hardy. If both of those guys can be a big pass rush, then the Skandrick loss isn't as big, obviously.
But I can't get behind the Cardinals. I don't think the Cardinals are that good to actually win the Super Bowl.
So we've really boiled it down here. We're talking Pittsburgh and Baltimore out of one division, Indianapolis, the Patriots. I don't think the Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl. I could see them getting there.
Well, there's only two teams left.
I like the Chiefs. I'm surprised you guys don't react to my Chiefs pick.
I like the Chiefs, too. I was just trying to think, who are we leaving out? The only two teams I can think of would be the Eagles and Cincinnati.
I've said the Eagles already. I think the Eagles are in the mix. I think the Chiefs are probably
Andy
on the
Dalton
same level.
Can't win the Super.
No Bengals. Okay.
The Chiefs are on the same level as the Cardinals to me. I think they could very, very well win the division, a bit like the Dolphins as well, but I just don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl.
All right, let's move on then to our next group. The most overhyped team, Elliot, I start with you.
Boy, I'm going to go with the Eagles. You know, I there's just too many moving parts there. It's almost like drafting a fantasy team. Like, I never want to have more than one risk at any position. So if I'm going to take an injury risk at running back, I'm not going to take another guy who's an injury risk at running back. And I look at the Eagles, and I just feel like there's just risks all over the place. There's Bradford. There's DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray's backup is Ryan Matthews. They don't have the same offensive line that they used to have. They have all these new parts, and football just doesn't work that way. You can't just throw a bunch of guys. I remember when the 2000 Redskins did that. They went and got Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith and Andre Reed. You remember that team? And they ended up going 8-8. I think Terry Robiskie closed out the season as their head coach.
But the guy who's doing it is Chip Kelly, who, you know, by necessity, you actually have to do that in college football. He's not far removed from college football. If anyone can do that, you'd think that a coach who went and did that in the college ranks and did it pretty successfully might be able to get that to work in the NFL.
Well, it depends if your glass is half empty or half full. Chip Kelly's is apparently half full because he just, think about all the guys. The story of the Eagles in football terms has been covered up by Deflategate and all this nonsense over the last few months here. But remember, I mean, think about what, like you say, EH, he's brought in DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, Kiko Alonso, and Sam Bradford. I mean, you really have to be very positive in your train of thought to think, oh, yes, they'll all be fine for 2015. Really, I mean, the whole season it will pivot on their health. If those guys stay healthy, then, yeah, they're going to be a tear there. Handsome, how say you?
Okay, well, we've already touched on this team, but, you know, as much as you booed me for saying the Seahawks, because I presume, you know, you're thinking, well, that was a team that was in the Super Bowl for the last 2 years.
I know, I'm just looking for new blood, that's
I'm
all.
Telling you that
I like a dynasty,
the overhyped team is the Patriots. I think that the Patriots, for the reasons we touched on earlier, okay, great, Tom Brady's back, this morning, Greg Rosenthal from Around the NFL is instantly writing stories about why this means that the Patriots are going to go on another rampage and roll to the Super Bowl. Look, this is a team with two rookies on an offensive line. He pointed out that you know, Brady's had that good protection through his career. They've got injuries across their receiving core. They've got a secondary which had Darrelle Revis in last year that is now led by Malcolm Butler. And I think for most people, Malcolm Butler wasn't on anyone's radar until the last second of the 2014 season. So this is, you know, that's probably not a great thing. Their linebackers are pretty good, and their defensive line, you know, is up and down and has been all that time. I know that Bill Belichick can pull things together, but I do think that there is an element of a Super Bowl hangover that could come with this Patriots team as well.
Vince Wilfork's gone. Shane Vereen caught 11 balls, 10 balls.
Who's in the backfield?
At the time of this recording, Fred Jackson has not signed with the Seahawks. Fred Jackson on the Patriots.
Third down back, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense there. But as it stands presently, Gronkowski, we talk about people who are brittle. I mean, you know, just because he made it through the majority of last season, his career has been marked by injuries. And like we always point out, one of the great ironies in sports is that the big guy in football is the one who wears out the most quickly because he's the consistent guy receiving the hits. Yeah, he might deliver blow to a small DB, but the attrition of getting hit like that constantly does wear a guy down. The idea that Gronkowski is just endlessly, as long as he's on the field, is going to dominate, I am suspicious of that at least. And like you say, can they win the division? Certainly. Can they go to the Super Bowl? Certainly. But again, they didn't win a Super Bowl without a really good defense. Right. And without Revis back there, they become... I do like some of the pieces they have on defense.
I think you made a good point about Gronkowski. You know, we've had the last few episodes, we talked about Jenga pieces, and with all of them, you know, we went through teams and we talked about it. And in most cases, it's like, yeah, well, obviously that guy's a big guy to lose. But the likelihood of losing him is sort of more down to bad luck than anything else. With Gronk, we have a history of injury there.
That's right.
When they needed him,
yep. Exactly. And as you say, he's the guy who's more likely to get injured because his whole game is about the physicality. So, you know, in theory, Gronk is probably more likely to get injured than a lot of the other names that we listed.
You know who he's like? Granted, this guy wasn't as good as Gronk, but he's like Mark Bavaro.
Yep.
Mark Bavaro was gangbusters. It was the same kind of player. Now, Mark Bavaro played in a rougher era when Ronnie Lott could literally elevate himself and take you out. But that's who he reminds me of.
Well, also, you know, another guy who also wasn't as good as Gronk, but Jeremy Shockey, too.
Yep.
These guys are revelations. But if they take repeated batterings game in and game out, they do tend to wear out.
Their careers are shortened.
That's right. Here's another one for you. Overhyped team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's right. I'll say it.
Dave,
I'll say the
Pittsburgh. Well, okay.
I have led the hype train when it comes to that offense. I've said that they have the best triplets in the NFL in Roethlisberger, Lev Bell, and Antonio Brown. But first of all, we start the year knowing that they're going to get housed in Foxborough. I mean, I really can't conjure away that the Steelers are going to go up there and win. I hope I'm wrong about that. The defenses, or the secondary in particular, look crummy. Now they're transitioning. We talked to Ike Taylor all the time. He said on the previous show, go back and listen to that if you want to get his thoughts on that. They'll be all right by midseason, but they are a defense in transition. They're no longer playing that 3-4 exclusively. They're trying to switch, and they're doing different things. They're not... Now, a lot of people I hear keep talking about them as a 4-3 team. They're not that exclusively either, but all those young guys out there having to play hybrid defense seems dicey to me. And of course, they're not a shutdown defense anymore. They're more about playmakers, Ryan Shazier and guys like that, who hopefully are going to be disruptive and take the ball away. But early on, at least, I don't think the defense is going to be very good. And now you don't have Martavis Bryant and you don't have Lev Bell for the first couple of games. I don't know. I mean, I can certainly see them finishing third place. It's not implausible that they'll be worse than the Bengals and the Ravens.
Well, I think it does ride on the secondary to me. The one encouraging thing I've seen from Pittsburgh is, boy, Marcus Wheaton looks like he's ready to go.
Yep.
You know, that's a guy that could have a big year for them. I know they lost Bryant for four games, but I think Marcus Wheaton ends up having 1,100 yards this year.
Listen, they loved him coming in. They've been high on him. I know it's smoke and mirrors the way a quarterback talks about his pass catchers on the first day of August. But Roethlisberger, for the record, said, our breakout guy this year is going to be Marcus Wheaton. He's going to be a big star.
He looks the part.
I know he's a nice size. Yeah, he's got a Bucky Brooks. I remember at the draft in New York City, the moment they took him, he said, "You watch, this is going to end up being a steal for Pittsburgh." So we'll see there. But the assumption that, well, their offense is gangbusters, ergo they're going to win the division and they're a Super Bowl favorite out of the AFC. Let's see if they can't stop anybody ever, and it's constantly 60-yard touchdowns against them. That's going to be dispiriting.
Then they're
the
Colts.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Now let's talk the other side of that coin. Underhyped teams, and I'm going to start with you, EH.
Well, I'm looking at our list here because we've got cheat sheet all right here. And I think mine's better than yours, Hank.
Well, let's hear it because I don't think it is.
Mine's the San Diego Chargers. I don't feel like, when you say underhyped, then it really has to be a team that nobody's talking about. I feel like the Vikings are a team that people are talking about. San Diego.
Too much. That's always a red flag. When everybody's on board, it doesn't seem to work out.
Right. And I would say, you mentioned the Chiefs earlier. That's a good one. I like San Diego. I like their quarterback. If Melvin Gordon doesn't work out for them right away, I don't think he's even a small Jenga piece, for them. Because I love the way Danny Woodhead plays in spots for them, that he's healthy now. And then I think their defense is going to be better this year. They do have some good personnel. They have some good young parts on the defense. If they step forward, I could see the Chargers winning 10 games this year. All they need to do is get in the tournament. When you have a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, I think as long as you get in the tournament, you've got a great shot.
I'd like to see Phil Rivers. I mean, there are other things I'd rather see before it. But Phil Rivers, it feels like, as a man of justice, I'd like to see Phil Rivers get to a Super Bowl at the very least. Here's the problem with them. In a division, and I'm taking the Chiefs over the Broncos, and we'll do our proper picks, our seedings next Tuesday on the show. But in the meantime, I'll tell you, the Chiefs, I think, win that division, and they are going to have, that defense is loaded, and they get back some pieces. It was already great last year, and that now they have the rallying point of Eric Berry and all that. So you have one good defense. The Broncos also have a dynamite defense.
You bet.
The Chargers are lagging in that department, so their offense better be, top three or top five in the league to offset that fact. They're in a bad division for that. Their defense is mediocre even with some
numbers. I agree with you. I just think they have a good young core on defense, and I like where they are at quarterback. I like Alex Smith. I am an unabashed Alex Smith fan. I think he takes way too much criticism. I don't like him as much as Phillip Rivers, and at this stage of the game, I like Rivers better than Peyton Manning.
I would definitely agree
with that. I agree with that. Handsome, who you got?
Well, I mean, you guys mentioned that the Vikings were overhyped. I think that the Packers were getting towards that stage, and now maybe the steam's coming off a little bit based on Jordy Nelson's injury. I really like the Lions. I think that, this is a team
that has
Matt Stafford, who's not far removed from having a 5,000-yard season and 40 touchdowns and all that stuff. You've got Megatron, who wasn't healthy last season. We think he's going to be healthy this time. You've got a backfield. It felt like they were waiting for Reggie Bush to do something he never did. They were waiting for Joique Bell to be a guy that he never was. Now they've got Amir Abdullah that I think, suddenly, he's been talking about overhyped. He's definitely...
But they can tandem Joique Bell with him.
And Bell works well with him rather than as the guy there. And then on defense, it always occurred to me that his teammates were waiting for Sue to make a play. It was always like, okay, what's he going to do? We don't necessarily... I think almost taking him out of that, I know that this sounds ridiculous, but maybe...
No, it doesn't. I was just going to say, maybe, Bill Simmons has the Ewing theory,
right,
which is when you remove that key piece.
And they replaced him with a guy, by the way, who's pretty good himself, Haloti Ngata. Like, I do believe that defense is going to be as good or maybe even better than it was with Sue.
They just got Ngata back. When you watch that Redskins preseason game, we all watched it from the RG3 vantage point that he kept biting the dust. I don't care how bad the Redskins line was. That Lions defensive line destroyed them.
Ziggy Ansah.
Yep.
Dave Damashek has circled him and predicted year three. His
all
big
pro.
Breakout
could be
year.
His, this
all
could pro? Be a breakout.
I think he
could
has his JPP. Yeah, I think he has his JPP. Oh, don't jump the gun there, Handsome. We're going to get to that
really?
In just a minute. Here's my team for you. Underhyped. No one is talking about this team. The Baltimore Ravens.
That's true.
Steve Smith, the question is, and it's... people seize on these storylines in like in mid-February, and then they don't let them go, and then that overshadows everything else about a team. And the story for the Ravens is they don't have anybody catch passes after Steve Smith. All right, that's fine. And that is a problem, except for the fact that who's been in the Super Bowl the last couple of years? The Seahawks, who were their high-end wide receivers? Who were the Patriots dynamite? Julian Edelman had some big games, but of course nobody puts him into the category of those high-end wide receivers. So they can survive that, not to mention that, you know, they have Perriman who might emerge. Who knows? They have some other young pass catchers there. Max Williams is going to be a factor, the nice tight end out of Minnesota. And the defense, I mean, Ozzie Smith, we talk about Jenga pieces. You take the wrong piece out, the whole thing.
He was a great shortstop.
I mean, Ozzie Newsome, not Ozzie Smith. That wrong sport.
Good defense,
right,
though. You were right.
Yeah. Ozzie Newsome consistently gives them a good offensive line and a good defensive line, and that always is a good foundation, obviously. You're never complete garbage if you have those two things going for you. Flacco, you know, listen, he rises. He's the anti-Peyton. You know, he's lousy in the regular season often, but when he gets to January, you can't argue with the results. So the Baltimore Ravens, my underhyped team that makes me nervous as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Now, most likely to have the first pick in the 2016 draft. Once again, in Chicago, Illinois. I'm already looking back.
Can't wait.
Handsome, we should make reservations now as our culinary tour
takes
us back.
What was that delicious place that we went to?
To the Purple Pig?
The Purple Pig. No, the other one. The
steakhouse?
The steakhouse.
Well, you and I went to the Half Shell on Diversey and ate king crab legs and drank many Michelobes, 10 ounces at a time, in those old kind of glasses out of the draft. That was great. Then we went to Gibson's. That's where
Gibson's,
we went for the steak.
Yes.
Oh, there's so much good food. Anyway, who is going to be making the first pick while we're there? Handsome, I start with you.
I say with no reservations that the Washington Redskins will be doing that, and they'll be doing that with maybe one win to their name.
Yeah, they're going to be very bad this year. I agree with you. And Jay Gruden may or may not survive the season. EH, how say you?
I hate to beat up on this team because you beat up on this team. Well, you don't even think this team exists since like 2009.
I'd love to see some tangible evidence that they're still playing games. I don't see them.
Tennessee Titans, I think, are going to be the worst team again. I 2-14 again.
Interesting. One more to consider is the San Francisco 49ers.
It's fun that bad.
No.
They won't be that
see
bad.
It.
I think the Chicago Bears may have a better chance to be that bad.
That's another good
than the 49ers.
That's a great call. Well, as I always have said this summer, if Kaepernick elevates his play and becomes this great quarterback that we thought he was going to be 3 years ago, then those bets are off. I'm going to go with you, though. DC, they're picking first in the draft next year, and just in
time to take
Hackenberg out of Penn State. That'll fix everything.
I think Colt McCoy is going to end up being the quarterback there.
Oh, it's just all grim. It's all grim.
Why does everybody hate Colt McCoy?
Colt McCoy's fine.
Hate him?
Yeah.
There's a difference between hating him and thinking
him.
He's a viable starting quarterback in the NFL.
He never had a chance in Cleveland. The guy literally never had a chance.
All right, let's move on. Now, this is an interesting thing. Black Tie Behind the Glass suggested this to me, and I really enjoyed it. Let's say that in, I don't know, 2031 or thereabouts, you take out the NFL record book and you open it up to the year 2015, which names will be listed as having had their best season in their career? Distinguished football players whose best season was 2015. I'm going to start with you, Elliot Harrison. Who you got? Who's going to have his best ever year?
Well, I'm going to have to borrow one of your guys, one of you two, because the guys that I gave in the meeting aren't on here. Neither one. Where's Brian Hoyer?
What happened, Black Tie?
Brian Hoyer.
I did hear Elliot tell you. I would like to tout Brian Hoyer, and I was ready to refute that and laugh. Brian Hoyer.
Okay, well, and then no Terrence Williams. You didn't even take my B.
I'm trying to produce a show here, EH. You give me names, Brian Hoyer. Come on, Brian Hoyer. And Terrence Williams, like the third.
Wait, what's wrong with Terrence Williams?
He's solid. But, you know, we have some sexier names.
I wish we had the pictures, by the way. Brian Hoyer retains, but barely, the crown of the NFL starting quarterback who looks in the face the least like an NFL starting quarterback. But I Tyrod Taylor, I hadn't gotten a good look at him recently. He also is in the running.
Really?
Mike Glennon, were he the starting, he would be your champ.
Glennon's the champ.
But yeah, when you get a good look at Tyrod Taylor, he does not look like, oh yeah, that definitely is the starting.
Peyton Manning's getting there, by the way. Whereas before, he was the picture of
Eli, both Peytons. Both Mannings are
I never thought Drew Bledsoe looked like a commanding quarterback.
The guy who, to me, is the who looks most like an NFL quarterback, Carson Palmer. He's the trendsetter.
Leading man.
Anyway, go ahead. Talk about somebody else. Who's having his best career year?
Well, I have some names to pick from here. I do like, I hate to jump on one of your guys, but I love DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to let you talk about him, though. So I'm going to go with Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb, I think, is going to have a big-time year. I know we know about Jordy Nelson's injury, but Randall Cobb's had some nagging injuries himself. If he can stay healthy, I know he hurt his shoulder the other day. I just think that he can catch 100 balls this year and really be the guy that helps them get to the Super Bowl. Davante Adams, they don't need Davante Adams to be the man. They just need Davante Adams to put up, you know, 10 touchdowns in the red zone, which I know is really good. They need Randall Cobb to be the man, and I think he's capable.
Uh-huh.
Handsome, how say you?
I will pick, I think a good name for this right now is Sam Bradford. We know that Sam Bradford, through his career so far, has not lived up to expectations. He's now gone to a place where it seems like you can plug in almost anyone at quarterback. I mean, they made Mark Sanchez look good in Philadelphia last year. Sort of. So let's assume that Sam Bradford's going to be able to do it. And he's looked sensational during the preseason so far. And equally, we know that Chip Kelly, we just talked about this, that Chip Kelly could easily kick him out next year and he may be with the Bills for the rest of his career. So I would say if you're going to say Sam Bradford's best ever year is going to be 2015, I think that's definitely not a bad place to go.
Well, it is hard to pin down. The Chip Kelly likes to ultimately run the ball as much as possible, and yet receivers tend to have their best career. Jeremy Maclin last year had his best year. I don't think he'll match those kind of numbers in KC, even though I think he'll have a good season there. And so, too, will Sam Bradford if he can stay healthy. You know what's amazing is there you see Suggs take him down there. Everybody talked about whether or not that was legal. Yeah, it was legal, but it still is dirty. There's no reason for him to have to hit Sam Bradford in a preseason game like that. The thing nobody has really talked too much about is thank goodness for Sam Bradford, really, on a human level. What if that would have hurt his knee? What if he would have been hurt on the basically the first play of the season and he was done again?
I'm definitely rooting for him, but I have to ask you, did you play like fifth grade football?
In the backyard, yeah.
Okay, well,
in Shecker Memorial Stadium.
Fifth grade.
Bo Damashek would bring out some lemonade afterwards for the victors only, though.
Fifth grade in Texas.
Water where for the losers.
We got started in school, all right, with football and like real pads and everything else. And there was always that one kid who got stuck with, I mean, you only had so many pads to go around, right? And there's the one kid that always got stuck with the shoulder pads where it looked like his head was shrinking into it. And he literally, Sam Bradford kind of looks like that
kid. He does have.
Also in the running for doesn't look like an NFL starting quarterback. I mean, he's a good one.
It's crazy. It looks like somebody dropped him in all these pads and it doesn't look
right. You know who does look like an NFL starting quarterback? And I mean this, Matt Stafford. I really
he's got that big jaw
and all that jazz.
I agree with you. Carson Palmer's like the new Troy Aikman.
Kind of, yeah. He's got the cleft chin and all of it. But Stafford, of course, this is bold to say he's going to have his best season ever when you look at the 5,000 yards and 51 touchdown passes he threw couple of years ago. Yes, the big part of this is I have rendered my final verdict on the NFC North. The Detroit Lions are going to win it,
and I just told you that. That's
I know it, but my word gets ink. Don't you see?
All right,
Matt Stafford. This I keep using the word, and I'm going to use it again. Ripe. This team is ripe. It's time. They must, by hook or by crook, 2015 must be their year, or they must start to consider. All right, how much longer? The Stafford, Calvin Johnson era. Are we going to ever turn the corner here? This is the year they must turn the corner. And in fact, if you think about it in these terms, had they won in Dallas in that playoff game, which they really, you know, maybe they got a raw deal there. Had they won that, we would not be, it wouldn't be a surprise to say the Detroit Lions are going to make some hay this year. You would say, of course they are. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. That loss sort of pushed them back down, same old lines and all that jazz. But I think Stafford takes it to another level this year. Like I say, Calvin Johnson certainly recognizes his football mortality. If you read some of the things, look at some of the things he says. I love Ameer Abdullah, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron in his sophomore year after a bad rookie season. I think he emerges with a chip on his shoulder. And like we say, the defense is very, very good. They win the division, Matt Stafford. Best year of his career. Black Tie, go ahead. Why did you replace Terrence Williams and Brian Hoyer? Go ahead. I know there's an ulterior motive. You didn't bring this up just because you wanted to hear our thoughts. Surely you have somebody you had to mention here.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Russell Wilson. This is a guy who now has a tight end.
What a shocker.
You know, he likes that throw that sexy deep ball, and he has a target that could go up there and make these catches. So I think definitely with his contract and what they're doing there with the Marshawn Lynch, put a lot of emphasis on the passing game, and Russell Wilson's going to have the best year of his career, plus he's dating Sierra right now. So, I mean, naturally.
Right. That whole dating thing, but
Sierra, I don't know that that works as a benefit. Right. Remember Memo Paris in The Natural. Sometimes that brings you down. That doesn't elevate your play.
But surely for Russell Wilson,
she was. I would have gone Memo over Glenn Close if that were me. Shame, you know, the football, the baseball deeds aside, whether it diminished my play, I definitely go Basinger over Glenn Close any day of the week. I'm sorry.
I would agree as well. Russell Wilson, for him to have the best year of his career, though, he has to win a suit. Has to finish with him with a ring.
Well,
that's a good
and
point.
And so you have proposed. He will.
Yes. Well, that's true. Good point. Well,
I don't know. I have my doubts there, Black Tie. I mean, the thing that we've talked about over the last, say, 3 years is Brady, Peyton, Breeze are getting all the big bucks. And when people get all egalitarian about things, like, oh, it's a team sport. Well, not if the guy is taking up that chunk of the salary cap. The QB is taking up $20 million. Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, and so on have benefited from having a low, I mean, that not in their bank account, but their teams are better because they can spread that wealth around. Once you start paying those guys $20 million, it's going to
affect happen this year.
The depth on the overall roster. Now, they have paid that defense, but the offense, no Max Unger, that offensive line, smoke and mirrors, we'll see.
To combine these two, you know, Detroit and Seattle, if there was one cool playoff game we missed out on last year from Detroit not beating Dallas, Detroit would have had to go into Seattle. I don't think Marshawn Lynch would have been able to go off on Detroit's front four the way he did Green Bay. And I think, you know, Carolina ended up playing him. Jonathan Stewart actually was making some hay in that game, but Carolina just had no passing game. I think Cam Chancellor took one back 90 yards to the house. I think Detroit could have beaten Seattle in Seattle. I'm not saying they would have, but they matched up well.
I absolutely agree. Now, the reason, watch this pivot. This is a pro pivot coming up right now. The reason that Marshawn Lynch would have had a hard time running the ball is because Ndamukong Suh was right there in the middle. But, of course, Ndamukong Suh has moved to South Beach. Handsome, do you have another name you'd like to throw
out
for
2015? Dave, I do. Thank you so much for bringing that up. And I don't know how you knew that I was going to say this name, but I think playing alongside Suh is going to make Cameron Wake an even better player than he's been throughout his career. Cameron Wake is a Pro Bowl player. Elliot Harrison named him to his preseason All-Pro team, which I know is a big honor for players. Cameron Wake's career best is 15 sacks, you can see in 2012. I believe he will at least equal and maybe beat that number in 2015, playing next to Suh. And the other name that you should look out for on that Dolphins defensive line is Olivier Vernon, who has been good through his career and is going into a contract year. I think Suh is going to make Wake a lot better, and Wake is almost unblockable, you know, without Suh. I think Olivier Vernon is going to be another guy that can benefit, and he'll benefit both in terms of stats this year and then a huge contract next offseason. Probably
think about this. I know if you take the names, if you take the uniforms off of it and everything and just look at the talent out there, that doesn't sound like a good thing for the New England Patriots. When you look at the Bills, the Jets, and that Dolphins against a young offensive line. I mean, just practically speaking, what smoke and mirrors does Belichick and his pal Brady, what do they have going that's going to offset that?
And you don't even have a running back to say, okay, well, look, let's not put Tom in harm's way. Let's use the running game against these teams. You don't have it.
Yeah, I think you're looking at three top eight defenses right there. Buffalo, Jets, Miami.
The one I keep saying, though, is look out for Denver. Black Tie wanted us to talk about Antonio Brown, but I have to say, even as a Steelers fan, Antonio Brown has been so sublime over the last two
years. There's no way.
I don't know how he could do better than he did last year. That was one of the five or six best single seasons by a wide receiver in NFL history. I mean, by numbers, certainly.
You jump from like top 20 to top 10 to top 3 or 5 last season. Well, what if he keeps getting better? I think it's very possible.
I hope you're right. It's hard to imagine him trumping those monster numbers.
He works out with The Rock in the offseason. I think he's putting in a lot of work. He's ready to go.
I hope you are right. What about another
receiver? Have another receiver.
Yeah, why don't you throw another
receiver? I was just going for a pro pivot there as well. DeAndre Hopkins, do you know his nickname?
I don't, but Sully behind the glass with he and his silly mustache were shaming me yesterday because I didn't know his nickname.
Should I tell you it?
Yes, I'd like you to.
Nuke.
Yeah. His nickname is Nuke.
Because he's going to go off like a bomb.
Like a bomb.
So here we go. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to, he's stepping into that number one role with Andre Johnson now leaving Houston. Obviously, it's dependent on whether Brian Hoyer is successful there, but he's going to be the focal point of that offense because otherwise it's Alfred Blue and, you know, whoever else. So I think he'll have a big
game. I agree. I just wish it would have been Ryan Mallett. He would have been even better off. But I do think DeAndre Hopkins, when healthy, has been terrific. He's one of the underhyped guys, to continue that theme. He hasn't gotten that much attention. His rookie season, he started out very well, then he got hurt. But this is a guy who has a chance to be dynamite. And if you've been watching Hard Knocks, you see he's one of those guys who makes those insane superhero kind of one-handed catches behind his back and all that kind of jive.
You mentioned his rookie season, man. And gosh, could you imagine? Because that's when Matt Schaub went downhill. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if he didn't get hurt at all. Matt Schaub didn't regress like that. And you have Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, and DeAndre, I mean, I feel like they just missed there.
Houston Texans would have won this division this year if Arian Foster weren't hurt.
I still
believe that, even with Brian Hoyer, as a matter of
fact. And he is a Jenga piece.
Yes, Arian Foster absolutely is. They win way more when he's on the field than when not. But speaking of high-end running backs, let's close this one out. Black Tie insisted on this one. I don't know how he could possibly have the best season of his career.
I want to hear how Black Tie justifies this.
Adrian Peterson, talk about it all day, Black Tie, all you want.
You spoke about DeAndre Hopkins making superhuman catches. That's who Adrian Peterson is. This guy is not
He does make a lot of superhuman catches.
No, he's a superhuman.
I got you.
That's the point. And he's come out and said it himself. Like, he's had a year off, and I think legitimately Adrian Peterson, if there's any player in NFL who can do that and have his best year, it's Adrian Peterson.
Fine, you know, the Vikings are a nice story. Teddy Bridgewater is a guy to root for. All that stuff. I hate to be a curmudgeon or a creep or whatever. Listen, good luck. Minnesota football fans have stuck with that team for years on end. They have really suffered about as much as any fan base has. But, I mean, what am I going to say? Am I rooting for Adrian Peterson to have great success? No.
I would probably go the same way. I think as well he's too much of a focal point on that offense, and we haven't seen him play for almost 12 months.
And it's not, I mean, they're not going to incessantly feed him the ball either. The guy who I really like, I don't think he's going to be as good as he was in Pittsburgh, but Mike Wallace. If you're a fantasy guy, grab Mike Wallace if you see him sitting there in the back half of your draft. I think Wallace gets back closer to that form than what we saw.
Have you had any fantasy drafts yet, Dave?
I did do one
for
NFL Fantasy, as a matter of fact, with EH and Fabiano and Rank.
Took Andrew Luck third overall.
That's right, I did. So
good
what? I had to
go off the board. Go off the board.
I have to walk the walk when I talk, when I've been saying that to everybody. Aaron Rodgers. Whatever the freight. Don't worry about that. Listen to the quality of the advice, not the way I turn the phrase. Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers are so much better than the third option in fantasy. I mean, really, who's the number three QB? Drew Brees, maybe Russell Wilson. I'm hearing Ben Roethlisberger's name mixed in there. That's a pretty big drop-off. Make sure you get Andrew Luck. I'm going to be better off for it. You'll see. You'll all see. All right. That's it, Black Tie. You want to wrap the show up here? What's that?
I'm not in that league, so I won't see.
But no,
you can tell me about it.
Hey, be on the lookout. Follow me at Damashek, because I will be in the coming days, nay, perhaps even in the coming hours, I will alert you to the details of joining our group for the DDFP, for our Pick'em League, and for our Eliminator Survivor Pool. And next week, we're going to be doing our picks, fellas.
Last year, we had you and me and Elliot and Black Tie did all the picks. Can we put Football Baby in there as well, so that Football Baby's picks can be recorded and fans can play against, you know, the Oracle?
That's a solid idea.
I like where
you're
at.
Why don't you give out Hank's Twitter?
And Elliot's.
Give out your own.
I gave out mine because I was trying to say you can follow me to find out that information.
Well, we might give that type of information.
Okay,
too.
If they're going to do
don't
it.
Don't we retweet? We retweet.
At NFL UK Hank and at Harrison NFL.
And if you're watching the show on YouTube, which you should be, by the way, you can see all your Twitter information on the show.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wow.
And we appreciate you checking it out on YouTube and or giving it a listen on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com, however you consume it. We appreciate you doing it. Drop us a line on Twitter. Also, give us a comment on the YouTube. You know, I'm trying to get
in
there.
It doesn't have to be about me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be about Handsome at all if you don't want it to be. Although, a high percentage of viewers have been commenting on how Handsome is surprisingly handsome. I don't know what the surprise is. Why would I call him that otherwise?
Hey, I think you look good with the slight scruff. He doesn't do that normally. He's straight razor.
I had to go to the dentist this morning, so I...
I was at the dentist. I couldn't take away my scruff.
All right, let's... Well,
you sounded like...
I just don't think I sound like
that. We went to the
orthodontist. That is your...
I just don't think I sound like that.
I don't sound that way. You make me sound foolish.
All right, so we will be back on the other side of the weekend. Football's here. Whatever you feel about the Flategate, that's the message to take away. We're past all the nonsense. All that's between us and New Year's Eve, football, football, more football. Woo-hoo! We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce and more breakdown before the kickoff. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.